I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hello and welcome to the Niall or Nine podcast. It is Niall and Andrea here, and we are joined for a very special episode this week by five judges of the Choice Music Prize previous years. And we are going to be discussing the shortlist, which is being announced this week on Thursday, March 4th. The Choice Music Prize is the annual music prize awarded to a album from Ireland. It comes from the shortlist of 10 albums, and we're going to run down those shortly. First of all, I want to introduce everybody on the call, so say a quick hello to everybody. Andrea, as co-host, I'll come to you first. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really excited. Claire and I were saying before we started that the Choice was the last night out that we both had last year, so it's really surreal that it's come around to a year since.
Yeah, and this is why we're doing it, because this year, obviously, none of us have been to gigs in nearly a year, or maybe just about over a year.
Yeah.
And that means that we don't get the opportunity to meet each other at the Choice, have a chat about music and do those kind of things that we normally would likely do. And in this year, the Choice has actually been broadcast on 2FM during the daytime. So even that is a hard thing to justify taking an afternoon off, and there's no event really. Una says thumbs down. Okay, Una, how are you doing? This is Una Mullally from the Irish Times and United Ireland podcast. How are you?
I'm ready.
She's ready to go.
I love that.
Okay, and then below we've got, in my Brady Bunch squares here, I've got Ona Sullivan of the Point of Everything podcast. I believe this is our first time hosting you on the podcast, I believe.
I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for having me. I just hope my takes are hot enough.
Keep them true unto yourself. That's all we want. And we also have Clara Beck from Today FM and a DJ. Looking forward to getting back in the clubs sometime soon.
Oh, hell yeah. I cannot wait. Thank you so much for having me. This is like a night out. And my last night out was The Choice with Andrea last year. So cheers to a year of being in our gaffs.
Cheers.
I'm not cheersing that.
Yeah.
I refuse to cheer.
Have a pint of Guinness for that purpose though. Okay, so we are going to run through the 10 albums very briefly, just to give you an overview of everyone, and then we will start alphabetically with Bitch Falcon. Is the first album on the list, and the album is called Staring at Clocks.
Yeah.
It is the debut album from the grunge rock trio, and very much an album that we've been waiting for a while from the band. We have Denise Chyla with Go Bravely on Narrow Lane.
Your black James Bond on show. Spice Box Taxi by the Centra on show. Sailor Moon remixed by Fela. Say moi, I am not a queen, I'm a pharaoh. Call CNN, NBC, Sky News, someone call the BBC. Everything's feeling CCTV, but don't watch, I'll give you something to see. Keep your girl.
The first mixtape release from the Limerick rapper and spoken word artist. Fontaine's DC, A Hero's Debt on Partizan.
Don't get stuck in the past. Say your favourite things at mass. Tell your mother that you love her. I go out of your way for others. Sit beneath the light that suits you. And look forward to a brighter future. Life ain't always empty. Life ain't always empty. Life ain't always empty. Life ain't always empty.
Quickly following up their debut album, Doggerel. Fontaine's DC's second album, A Hero's Debt. JLOL 2020 Division.
Remember telling the veteran if he ever went pro. When we were ready to get revenge when the parent went broke. Yeah, that's the place we love, but where's the safety, huh? Cause sometimes you know it really gets like WrestleMania. Although grip and intellect is what the wrestles mainly are. Then we give an indirect response for when the parents lost. Although maybe y'all, maybe God, me an alien. But my Brady Bunch gave me heart, made me rainy on. And they made me strong, made me calm, made me straight beyond. All the places gone on the run, but I made it home. Have you ever felt love that is overwhelming? Have you ever gone to a place and you know you're welcome, that's home? Ever talk back and hold your helmet?
The debut album from the Kildare rapper came a year after the artist was the forefront of the Irish Black Lives Matter protests. We've got Roisin Murphy, Roisin Machine. Murphy's fifth album, which has roots back to 2011 with 10 songs made with producer Crooked Man, aka DJ Parrot. We've got Nilo, All the Leaves Are Falling.
And I don't want to fight with you. I'd take a plane right through the sky if I meant to spend the night with you. If that'd be alright with you. Hey, when I look into your eyes, as the universe is lighting up, and that's enough to lighten my load. I follow all the darkest roads that steer home. Maybe this the only home I've ever known.
Clancilla, hardcore singer turned rapper, and his album about leaving home and coming back again. We've got Pillow Queens, In Waiting. Released on their own label, the first album from the Dublin-based four-piece indie rock band. We have Alvaredi, Personal History. This is a Dublin singer-songwriter Alvaredi. It's a record that reflects on relationships coming out and the mental health that glues it all together. From Galway, we have Niamh Regan with Hemet on the Black Gate label.
Explain the lump of my chest, it holds me down, pushes you away. I told you I was doing just fine this way. There's no need to worry that way. Doing it for you, doing it for the kids' sake. I wish I could say
singer-songwriter, which who came good with an album exploring matters of the heart, growing up, family, and friendship. After that, we have our final album on the 10 is from Silverbacks with Fad.
Dunkirk, my wife clipped me, she clipped me good. I heard my soul in manhood, swinging arms, obedient commuters on the tarmac beaches by Dunkirk. Swinging arms, frustrated commuters, bashing suits in Dunkirk. A safety pin right through the ear, 40 years of
Kildare and Dublin, a band who make Indian art rock, delivered with a wryness and a nod to their elders in post-punk, new wave and slacker rock. Okay, so on the choice this year, there are 8 debut albums and there are more female than male artists for the first time ever. So I guess this is pretty representative of what's going on in Irish music right now, as the choice always is. But in particular, it's a very indie list than it normally is. Perhaps there's no major label releases on there. There's no trad or anything like that. There's a lot of indie and rock and hip hop here. So we're going to start with probably the biggest genre on the list is kind of the indie and rock section. So Una, I'm going to ask you about the Fontaines DC album, A Hero's Death, their second album. Certainly for me, a better record than their debut, A Doggerel. It is one that is, you know, it's contrasting than their first one. What are your feelings on this?
Well, I really like both of the records. When I first listened to this, I think I found it a little bit thin, and that you had to kind of search a bit more. It initially feels that a lot of the melodies and hooks and stuff like that, and even the structures of the song, feel a teeny bit monotonous, but then it just kind of reveals itself. I think I really like how they didn't do that thing that sometimes happens if you are a band who's been touring relentlessly on a debut album, and that debut album is very much rooted in place. You know, it's very specific to, you know, a moment, but a moment in a place. And that album was so Dublin-y that you kind of sometimes can get into a situation where there might be a bit panic or a feeling that you have to like go back there. You have to be anchored in a particular place to kind of recreate an artificial almost life that's not the road. And I really like how they didn't do that, that they kind of lean into this unmoored feeling. It's very much like exists kind of in the space between. And I think that's brave. And I think that it succeeds. And I think that they're, you know, it's a very layered record, very subtle record. And yeah, I think I really enjoy how they bashed it out as well. You know, almost preempting any kind of block and just running through the wall and getting an album out quickly. When you become a big band, that's not necessarily an easy thing to do, even from like an album cycle or whatever you want to call it, structure. So I think that was a good thing to do. I think it was a good decision.
Yeah, it was an interesting way in which, you know, I think maybe they wouldn't have known this, but the way that the album actually does chime with the kind of life we're living now, this kind of liminal space that we're in between things. We're not quite sure where we're at. And the album does kind of fit that mold because it's not, it doesn't have the immediacy of Doggerel. It is a lot of mood in there. There's a lot of atmosphere in there. And that's the thing that gets me when I listen back to it more than anything else, it's almost like this mantric kind of delivery that, you know, you're kind of getting stuck in these moments that are kind of repeating themselves a bit musically and lyrically as well, with Green Chatton's vocals. Some of the giddy adolescence of the first album is certainly not there. There's a bit of a heaviness to it now. And for me, though, that means it's a more nuanced, probably less like monochrome kind of band now. They sound more accomplished anyway. They're putting these across more in a more melodic and varied fashion. I think there are some small negatives there. There's a couple of songs that don't stand up to the rest of them. The Living in America one is one that I just can't really get behind much because it just seems a bit too trite. But overall, I think for me, the album is a mood.
Mm. I think it's like a hard thing to do to make something that is quite limbo-y actually also feel solid. Like it doesn't feel like they're uncertain. You know, it kind of feels like they're searching for things. So it doesn't have that thing where you don't really know what you're doing, so you kind of make it a bit nowhere. It doesn't have that, even though it has this very limbo type vibe.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see when live gigs do come back what it will be like to hear these live songs live, or will they be beefed up in some way. But that's for a different day. Well, there's a good few guitar albums on this list this year, but our second one we're going to talk about is from Silverbacks, and it's called Fad. They are a Kildare and Dublin band who make Indian art rock music, very much Rye, Slacker, kind of inspired by Pavement. Owen, I know you're a fan of the band. Can you tell me what you think of this record?
I think it's a brilliant album. I think it's one of the best rock albums on the list. I think it's better than Fontaine's album as well. I think that they've done their own thing and they do their own thing really, really well. It's very Pavement-esque. It's very Rye. It's very funny. They've got one of the best songs on the whole shortlist in Just in the Band, which is the song that really announced them to me. I thought that they were one thing before I heard this song. And then I heard that track and it's just like, it's just a full, I think they're, are they a five piece or a six piece? And
five piece, yeah.
And it just feels like that. It feels like every member of that band is playing at the absolute peak of their powers on that track. But then you've also got the likes of Dunkirk, which is just a really, really great opening track. And they've just got hit after hit. I think it's a really varied album and it does all that in 13 tracks, just over 35 minutes. They pack it in and I just think it's an absolutely brilliant album. I guess I was surprised to see it on the list just because maybe it hasn't reached as many ears as I thought, but obviously it's made the right connections critically, at least, because there's brilliant tracks throughout that album. So I'm delighted to see it on the shortlist.
I'm surprised to hear you say you like it more than Fontaine's album, because I know you're a Fontaine's fan.
Yeah, the Fontaine's record just didn't really do it for me, to be honest. I was really disappointed by it. I really like the big immediate hits that you get off Dogrel, and I feel that that's missing on A Hero's Death. And like, yeah, that's what I like about Fad. It's just, you know, as soon as maybe your attention just drifts a little, you've got a Club Silberbracken, which just drags you back in. You've got a Muted Gold. You've gotten Up the Nurses. I think this track is that.
Yeah, the contrast there with Emma Hanlon coming in and doing vocals as well is a really nice touch on the album, as a certainly an icebreaker, but also just, I think they're two of the strongest songs. Up the Nurses. Andre, you also were a fan of the Silverbacks album. It was new to you when we did it on the podcast last year.
Yeah, I like Owen, I was really surprised to see it on the list because I just didn't, I was really, really excited about this album when it came out, and I guess I didn't get the same sense of buzz around it as I was kind of hoping for. I kind of thought when I first heard this that this would be like a big, big release, but it was for me and it was for the judges, so that's good. Yeah, I mean, just kind of echoing what Owen said, like it is banger after banger. Up the Nurses is brilliant. Like it just sort of it captures a kind of a mood and a time in kind of where we are in Ireland socially and politically, but it does it in that kind of really wry, humorous Irish way. A lot of albums on this list here are looking at Ireland through a kind of a critical lens. And I think this is probably the more humorous side of that. And I think there's definitely space for that on a list like this. And yeah, it's just bangers, great band. When they sound full, they sound really, really full. And yeah, I really want to see them live.
I'm going to stick with you, Andrea, for the next choice, because sure, it is another one that we discuss on the podcast. And I think we championed this record. This is from the Galway singer-songwriter Niamh Regan. The album's called Hemet. So tell me a bit about this. I know, you know, I love this album as well.
What can you and I say about Hemet that we haven't said before? I think we went about 3 or 4 weeks on the podcast where we at least mentioned it once, just completely gushing about it. Yeah, like it's no secret that I think this is really up there for me, actually, along with two others on the list. And I think that it's an album that is so kind of, for me, what struck me was how mature it is. And then you kind of, like, we met Niamh and we interviewed her. I was like, oh, you're like my age. I thought you, like, she kind of just, like, her lyrics strike you as her being this kind of wise sage who you could, like, go to for advice and kind of hang all of your hopes and dreams on. And I think that she kind of has this, like, Regina Spektor, Lisa Hannigan, Laura Marling's, she's kind of somewhere within that ilk, but it's still completely her own sound that she has.
Yeah, it's from lived experience as well, so you really feel that real world experience coming through, and the what she's lived through comes through, like very specific details about, you know, touching on matters of the heart and like growing up and growing older and like getting the idea of, you know, losing a parent and then thinking about becoming a parent as well is in there, you know, really interesting topics, I think, as well.
Yeah, and for me, I think that what really is so striking about this album is how poetic it is. And I mean that in terms of how stark and how neatly rendered the imagery she uses is. Like she'll kind of take something really specific, like a coffee with an ex-boyfriend or an ex-partner, or like the memory of a voice or a bird flying in the sky, in like the gray sky, and she'll just kind of let that lyric and that moment hang there, and you're kind of suspended in that space with it. It's an album that really takes its time, and it's kind of like reading a series of poems rather than kind of reading an overarching kind of like a novel or a short novel or a short story or something like that. It's incredibly poetic, and Niamh is such a humble person that, like, when you tell her you're a fan of her music, she's nearly like burying her head in her hands, which is also very poet-like of her as well, I think. But I absolutely adore this record. This is one I've gone back to an awful lot. It's been nice to have it in this year when I'm trying not to like listen to music that like is sad, but this is music that kind of just slows things down for me a bit, and I find it quite meditative, and it helps me breathe a bit and kind of notice. It's kind of realize that you can take a small I think they call that mindfulness, actually, when you just kind of you have a little small moment and you just stay in it for a little bit more time. And I think this album kind of replicates that feeling just beautifully.
Brezzy there with the Hemnet review.
I know. I would, yeah, that's it. Good. Just go for a walk, everyone. Listen to Niamh Regan, you'd be grand.
Oh, I just wanted to say thank you so much to Niall and Andrea for introducing me to this record, because now over here, my choice wall of fame.
Very good.
Absolutely love it. Missed it. Heard you guys talking about it. Had a listen.
Yeah. Oh, that makes me
really
so
delighted
happy
to see this so on the list this year. I really intro. Didn't expect this one in particular, but really nice, you know, to see something that you champion appear on it. Oh, and I believe you interviewed Niamh on your podcast as well.
Yeah, I did. I really like this album. Like you guys, I guess I just wasn't, I don't know what I expected. I didn't really know the name, so I just stuck it on, and it gets you from the very first listen. It feels like the little album that could. It's just one that you just keep returning to.
And yes. Another artist that you interviewed on your podcast was Alvaretti, wasn't it?
Yeah, I've been following Alvaretti for a couple of years, and I was delighted to see her finally release Personal History. It's her debut album. It felt a long time coming. I know some people might have been expecting more of a folk record from her, but I think this one is dripping in guitar. She's a brilliant guitarist. I think she's a brilliant vocalist as well. I love some of the harmonies that she does throughout this album, and I like the songwriting and the concept behind the album as well. It's kind of chronicling her 20s, the ups and downs along the way, the highs and the lows, and it kind of reaches a point at the end with self-improvement where it's like, yeah, I went through all this and I've come out the other side. I'm able to smile about it. I'm able to reflect on everything that's happened, and I survived, and things are only going to get better.
And there is something about this record was produced by Tommy McLaughlin in Donegal's Attica Studios, one of two albums on this list, which we'll talk about the other in a minute, that is on this list. And what I love about this, and what I think is why it works so well, you know, there's something to be said for an artist arriving, spending a long time coming up and working away and honing their sound, playing gigs, getting the experience under their belt, and then coming and making an album. This album is very reflective of a certain place and time, and Alva the experience in her 20s, you know, informed by the relationship she had coming out and mental health, a lot about studying psychotherapy and discovering and using those insights gleaned from the time studying psychotherapy to inform the lyrics of the record as well. It is all told with a kind of honesty as well, but which I think is coated in a way in the way that she sings these things. You're not ever quite sure when you first listen to her, you're not sure that she's actually, you know, revealing that much about herself. But the more you listen to it, the more you realize actually she is being quite revealing about herself on this record. Alva has gone from a very acoustic folk background to this much more indie, beefed up kind of indie folk record kind of as well, which really matches, you know, the artistry and the growing stature of her artistry as well, which I think it works really well. So our next album is, Una, I want to ask you about the Pillow Queen's album In Waiting.
Yeah, I think this is like kind of mad how this record has just taken off. You know, just to preface with thinking about, like, I think I feel way different about like judging or appraising something now than like in the before times, because there's kind of a ludicrousness to it in a weird way, because all of the art is so good, and, you know, getting it out before now or getting it out in this moment is just such a mad thing. But one of the things about how this record landed is that things seem to really coalesce. And, you know, we may talk about certain bands, you have to see them live or that kind of thing. That being taken away, which is fucking horrible, obviously, creates a different kind of focus. And I think that this album really benefited from that. Around the time, well, when it was being released, it seemed to just, you know, take over any kind of culture that was happening in the country, you know, that week. And there was something very 90s about the buzz around it, because it was all like, just get the album and listen to the album. And all the press was like, they're all over the papers and, you know, everybody's tweeting about it. And it just felt like this moment that maybe people didn't expect, maybe the band themselves didn't even expect, was going to crystallize for them. And then people sat with the record, and then you just, you know, you're sitting with this kind of, you know, an Irish rock album that's kind of a classic. And as well, when everybody in that moment, you know, last year was reflecting on their lives and, you know, thinking back to childhood and wondering who they are and how they got here, you had this album that contains their essence, which is this ability to put you in an emotional state in a particular place, in a particular time, that is kind of ambiguous, but is very much like nostalgic with kind of an ennui for like what has gone before and how that's formed you. And you're kind of sitting in their teenage bedrooms, you know, contemplating something from the future. It's like a weird, like, queer time travel vortex thing. Then you just have these fucking songs on it, like Liffey and, you know, Donna Mead. It's just crazy. Like, I remember listening to that for the first time at their listening party thing they did on Zoom, when there was a big argument about Rats In or Rats Out, but hearing the song. Yeah, well, no, just Rats a song. And hearing Donna Mead and this fucking beast of a sound coming up from the earth and just enveloping you. You know, Pam is such an amazing singer. They're, you know, Sarah as well, they're great musicians. There's something about the space they inhabit that is very emotionally profound. There is this album is like, there's a lot of gravity, there's a lot of weight. And it's not surprising to me that, you know, and seeing people react to it, like a lot of like dudes in their 40s, 50s and 60s, you know, as well as all of the like young women, yeah, and young everyone who who's really into them. So it's a big record.
And you did actually get to see these Pillow Queens live in a different capacity than most people.
Yeah, but at other voices. Yeah. And it was really weird. You know, it made sense in a weird way, like this empty church, you know, and the emptiness, the suburban horizon that this album kind of, you know, hovers over like mist on, you know, the fucking mucky gar pitch beside your gaff, you know, in the estate. You know, it has all these just textures, and it kind of weirdly then made sense in this like echo of the church and the space that they create. You know, they're a really great band, and they're the band that you know, having been, you know, standing outside the lower deck trying to get into their first gig and know the girls and stuff, like you really want a band like this to succeed, and to see that happening is surreal. You know, the Sub Pop publishing deal and being on American TV and shit, I'm so fucking happy for them, but because the art stands up behind that.
The thing is about the time that we're living in, all that stuff, there's no, the hype can only be built on something that is real at the moment. Yeah. Because you can't create a buzz on something as, oh, you've seen these guys live, whatever. It's based on experience. People are reacting to what's actually happening with this band, the songs, maybe even a live stream show here and there, maybe, you know, what they're saying, what they're talking about, all these kind of things. That is what's happening. And that is also what is happening with our next choice. Claire, I'm going to come to you now. From Denise Chyla, Go Yes. Bravely is the mixtape. She calls it a mixtape. It's being called an album now because it's been Yes. nominated for the choice. But certainly one of those artists of everybody in Irish music, and like has made the biggest impact in a pandemic year as you could possibly imagine. Obviously, we've talked about it a lot, so I'm not going to go too much into it, but give me your thoughts on Go Bravely and Denise Chyla, please.
So she, wow. When there's an artist that has this much hype around them and this much buzz, sometimes I get a little worried, not because of their abilities, but it reminds me of that kind of old school NME thing where they will put someone on a pedestal and then like chop them down. But when this mixtape or album or whatever you want to call it came out, it's stunning. She is stunning. She is so, so talented. It's one of those that you cannot listen to it once. I have the same thing that Roisin Pillow Queens and Denise Chyla are the three albums that I haven't listened to once at any time. You have to just put it on again and get more out of it. The singles are fabulous. The video that she did with Jafaris for Unsha is fabulous. Like, she is a true, like, multifaceted artist. And I love that this album really kind of hits exactly the right pitch of going, this is what I can do. I can do all of these things. And it kind of gives a flavor of everything about her. And I think it's wonderful. I think she's amazing. I'm devastated for her that there's all the kind of despicable carry on around her being nominated for this award. I don't know if you saw that she had to ask RTE Choice not to tag her in anything online because just the pylon from just disgusting racist nonsense. So I feel like, I think it's awful that she has this extra dimension of shit that other people on the list don't have to deal with, because I would love if she would just be fully basking in her glory and her success, because I think she's,
well, look, those people are threatened by her because she is eloquent and creative and artistic. Yeah. So that's what they're threatened by. I mean, overall, you know, with Denise and this mixtape, I feel like this is just part yeah. one of the story.
Yeah.
It was never intended, probably. I haven't asked her about this, but I would imagine she's somewhat bemused by the fact that this was nominated for the choice, because it was never intended to be a big deal. The whole point about mixtapes is that you can kind of put something out and it not have that consideration of the same consideration as mm-hmm. a debut album. You know, this was never supposed to be a debut album.
Sometimes you're just yep. so talented that people pick up on it anyway. The same thing happened with For Those I Love, like that he was like, this is just some ideas. It's you know, sketches and stuff. And everyone was like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah,
you know?
Also like Delhi Daydreams was nominated for a choice as well. I mean, I think that like it goes to show how good Denise is as an artist. That's something that is meant to be like a smorgasbord or an introduction or little postcards that don't necessarily have that album cohesion, which is the point. You know, that's not a criticism at all. It when something is, you know, all these different, like different flavors and different things you can do, is so good that people actually enjoy the dexterity of the artist and that this kind of broader arc that, you know, the traditional album has, even though it is there an awful lot, doesn't necessarily apply because the thing is just so good, really speaks to when, you know, when I listen to her music or watch some of the phenomenal live performances she's done, especially the Other Voices Courage one in the National Gallery. It's so exciting because, like you say, Niler, like part one, like you're just seeing this potential of a fucking star. Yeah. And the real deal. And like this mixtape, the lyrics, like her bars are crazy. Like there is so much going on. And I don't think she gets enough credit in a weird way as a rapper, like as the craft. Yeah. Like there's just some shit in that are just classic, classic bars. And I just, you know, and they just keep coming, you know.
Yeah, there was some this week, even listened to it, I was like, oh, I didn't cop that last year. And I was listening to it again. I was like, yeah, there's a lot to take in there. And I do feel like you're correct. She's only really just starting in that way. And I think we're going to see a lot more from Denise for sure. And I think, funny enough, you mentioning Other Voices and Dingle, I think that was, I remember being in the smoking area in Dingle at Other Voices. And Denise is quite, she's not that tall. She's very small. She was standing beside me and she just kind of, Niall, can I tell you something? Yeah, what's up? I was like, you know, because the Rossangano family had been down in Dingle and they'd performed and she was there, but she wasn't on stage at that point. And she just turned to me and was like, I want to be up there. I want to be up there soon. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go up there. And so, you know, this quiet confidence was always there, but it's really blossomed in a way
I can see her saying that. In her like incredibly sweet way.
There was a surety there that was like, I know I'm going to do that at some point.
I think that's what's so astounding about an artist like Denise Tyler. It's like a more humble person you could not meet. Like she is just incredibly self-aware and always striving to do better. And I think that the fact that this is a mixtape and not an album, when it absolutely could have been an album, she could have put this out as an album and not much would be said differently about it, kind of speaks to the idea that she is just starting. Like this is just the beginning for her. And like Una said, like she's such a star. And like we've been looking around ourselves for a while in Ireland and wondering where our female pop stars are. And while she's not in the kind of like she's not making like pop music, I think pop and hip hop has become so kind of intertwined with each other now that we can absolutely just put all our money on Denise being our girl. And I think Go Bravely is stunning. Like Denise's music just I think she's changing music in Ireland, and I think she's doing it for the better. And she's just an incredibly brave and wonderful person, like on top of all of that. And she says things like there's nothing about her music that isn't deliberate. She's not accidentally falling onto these bars. Everything she's doing is down to her talent and her vision. And she's so interdisciplinary and intersectional in what she's talking about. Like she's talking about race and yes, she's talking about feminism, but she's talking about these things at the point at which they intersect. She's talking about being Irish. She's talking about what that means for her. And she's doing it in a way that is accessible to people who aren't like her, which she doesn't have to do. Like even Chyla, like to kindly spell out her name for people to help them. Like it speaks to this kind of like like regal. I know she doesn't like to be called a queen, but it is this sort of like
she's a king.
Yeah, and like she's above all of that, all of the shit that gets thrown at her online. She's going bravely and she's going kindly. And I think that that's what's going to see her through an incredibly long and brilliant career. And this is just the beginning for Denise. Like she's just a star. She makes me so happy. Like, she makes me smile even talking about her.
Yeah, she was a big part of, you know, I mean, all I've had in the last year in real terms, in terms of the normal things that make me regulate my mental health, are, is, you know, music is a big part of that. And like, her ascendance last year has been a big part of that for me personally, just being able to watch her grow in public in that way and take on every stride and take on every challenge and take on every gig in a way that just is her growing in front of us in a way that, you know, many people can't hold and can't do that in that same way, whether being eloquent, being able to appear on the Late Late and hold their own, release a song like Chyla, and not only it being a great song, but also, you know, actually getting a huge amount of radio play for a song like that is, as they would say, you know, they thought it was going to be the intro to the mixtape. It was called Intro. So, you know, it was never supposed to be a single track.
And what I love as well is that she's completely blown the lads out of the water and they know it and they're fine with it. They're just like, yeah, they're just stepping back. And
God, no. Really?
Yeah, yeah, they're just like, they're stepping back and they're letting her do her thing and they're just sort of pointing at her and going, look at this, look at our girl, isn't she just incredible? Yeah, what a lovely, lovely crew.
Okay, our next album on the list is from Bitch Falcon. It is called Staring at Clocks, the debut album from the Dublin grunge rock trio who've been around for a number of years and had a few lineup changes. Lizzie Fitzpatrick is the probably the longest serving member, I think, believe, of the band. And they finally released their album later this last year on Small Pond Records in the UK. Very much like they describe it as a dream grunge album, very much atmospheric guitar, a lot rock and roll, pedal assisted sounds, some big rock percussion and ripping line. It's a really good rock record. It's very different to the other kind of guitar records on this album. It's more about, I can't really ascertain lyrically what's happening here in terms of, I can't really hear them or ascertain them really, I can't really figure them out, but it is more of a straight up old fashioned rock record compared to some of the other things on this list. And I think it's a really solid album, and it's one that I think was maybe a bit overdue in terms of the band themselves, but also great to see them get it out there. And it is often, like, you know, we've got 8 debut albums on this list, and it's always interesting when a band reaches that point or an artist reaches that point and see what they think of themselves and what they want to put out there. And, you know, someone else who here on this list who kind of reached that point very quickly is Jay Yellowell. He had his album 2020 Division. It's been great to see the emergence of the Irish hip hop community represented in this shortlist in the last few years. Like, I think was Kojak the first album or Irish rap album actually featured on the choice, maybe, perhaps? I think it was. And Messiah J, of course, yeah, well, back in the day. But I think, I feel like, and I wouldn't be unfair to say this about Messiah J, we didn't have a community the way that we do now around, and an artistry around Irish rap and Irish hip hop, where before, now we really, I feel like we really do. Like last year, Jafaris got nominated with Stride, and that was a big deal for him. So JLOL, actually, I will say this, this is funny. We now have, there's, just because I'm from Newbridge in Kildare, there's 2 artists on this list with Newbridge connections, JLOL and Silverbacks. A few of the Silverbacks people are from Newbridge as well.
Are you from Newbridge, Niall? You've never mentioned it before.
No, never mentioned it before.
I've never heard you say anything about Newbridge. Always,
old
there's always a Newbridge album on the list somewhere, you know. You just have to look out for it. But yeah, okay, so JLOL 2020 Division, debut album from the Kildare rapper, very much kind of came, I don't know if it was always planned like this, but he gained a lot of interest and for being kind of a spokesperson of the Irish Black Lives Matter protest last year here. He has Irish, Nigerian and Jamaican heritage, and the album overall is a really produced by Chris Cabs. It is very much like a little bit of an old school kind of hip hop feel. It's kind of got a bit of a like tropical flavor to some of the productions, but very much about a young Black Irishman striving for better, whether it's personal, political, social, or economic. I feel like he's done himself a great service by releasing this. And again, one of those artists that's probably suffering a little bit from not being able to do it live, because I've seen him live and he can really do it. And overall, I think a really solid debut album and a nice addition to the choice this year. What have you got left? Okay, I'm going to move to Andrea for Nilo.
Yes.
All the Leaves Are Falling.
Ah, Nilo. Yeah, I think All the Leaves Are Falling is an incredibly special record. I mean, it starts with like an idea, a kind of a catalyst. Actually, just to say, I think there should be more voice notes on albums, because that's been something I've been like really enjoying, like a recent trend of people having voice notes on albums. And I think Nilo does it with like a real artistry. Like they're kind of like short poems that are off the cuff. And yeah, he's kind of like introducing the themes of the record at the beginning. He's kind of saying like about him walking around a housing estate with a friend, and they just realize that they're just talking about the most mundane and the most kind of boring things, and that there's a kind of cyclic repetitiveness to their lives where they're at. So he decides to emigrate to Vancouver, and I think when it kind of spans off from there and looks at his time away and how things are still kind of changing at home in Ireland socially and personally for him, he's just touching on so much of what it is to be like a certain age as an Irish person, to feel so let down by your government, to feel like you've been doing everything right and yet you've been wronged, just kind of living in or adjacent to poverty, the desire to just get out. I think he captures all of these things so beautifully and so succinctly when they're in these kind of like off the cuff kind of ways. And I think there's very few people that can kind of make that sort of stuff sound so beautiful. And he does it. Like I think he's pretty singular, actually. He's sort of somewhere in between hip hop and kind of spoken word, but he's also very funny, and he's funny in how fed up he is. And when you're listening to this record, you can kind of imagine, you can remember even conversations that you've been having with your friends at 4 a.m. about how fucked up everything is and how bored you are of life in Ireland and how tired you are with the boot on your face all the time. And yet he just has this kind of sense of hope throughout, that it's things like friends and music and collaboration and art that is the savior, really. Yeah, I think it's a really beautiful album. And I mean, again, like Denise, he's got some lines on it that are just stunning, and they really stay with you. Yeah. It's really atmospheric, yeah, as well.
I love it too.
I love this record.
Who would have thought, just, I love what you were saying there about the intro, Andrea, like who would have thought, like it takes real talent to make talking about tubs of grease something that like sticks with you and you want to come back. And I love
Greece.
That kind of voice note thing. And it also makes me think, because we all have like so many friends that are away. Like I have friends that have maybe be away touring or that moved away, and we leave each other these long voice notes. And that's exactly the kind of thing you'd put on a 4 a.m. voice note to one of your mates. Mm. I love this. I think he's very special artist. I think he's so talented. I think Molly Sterling sounds amazing on the record. I think, yeah, it's and again, it's another, I took this, it's in my choice Hall of Fame. Here it is.
holding
up my records.
One by one.
It's a lovely one to just take yourself off on a walk with, put it in the headphones and just really, really listen. And you kind of get something different from it every time. I think he's wonderful.
Also, music is amazing. Like the arrangement is amazing.
Yeah, lovely jazzy kind of R&B hip hop stuff going on there. And especially, I thought, actually, a fine example of when Sing Live really lifts it is when they played at Other Voices and full band, everybody
was on
Garrett,
that stage.
Yuli, yeah, he brought half of Dublin with him.
Yeah.
And it still made it socially distanced, which I thought was really impressive. And it just really lifted those songs in a way. And I was like, it was Nilo's gig in the Workman's, was one of the few that I actually had a ticket for in the between time when we were supposed to be able to do socially distant gigs and never happened. And in the end, I think it's been moved, obviously, yet again, to like sometime next year or something. Who knows? But anyway,
And actually, sorry, I forgot to mention what I think on my first listen, what for me kind of took this from being like a very good album to a great album was, I think it's in the last song, or it's the last voice note, he sort of breaks through the fourth wall of his own album and he starts talking about how he named the album and how he had this song, All the Leaves Are Falling, and he says something like, oh, I wrote that song a year ago and I didn't even realize that that was the theme of the record until the end, but we're here having not actually finished the record yet. And it's just such a moment of kind of self-reflection from inside the work itself that I found incredibly interesting. And I think it kind of shows the different levels at which he's willing to reflect. And that to me just kind of like when that ended, I just sat with that thought of kind of this cyclical thing of like staying inside the record forever for ages. I couldn't stop thinking about it. And then like Claire, you know, just press and play again and listen to it again and again. Yeah, and that for me is the thing that made it like just transcend even being like a very good record into being great.
Great. Okay, our final record is another artist who wouldn't mind being calling a queen. It is Roisin Murphy, and the album is Roisin Machine, the fifth solo album, which has roots back to 2011. 10 songs made with producer Crooked Man, aka DJ Parrot. Claire, I'm going to ask you to take this one.
How much time do we have? How long can I talk about how much of a genius Roisin Murphy is, how lucky we are to have her? This is her fifth album. I think it's her masterpiece. She set out, she said she wanted to make a disco record because she's Roisin Murphy. She can do whatever she wants. So this one, she decided she was going to make a disco record. And she specifically wanted it to be that it would play in one continuous go. So you'd put it on and it'd be like kind of being at a live gig or being out at a disco or that kind of thing, and it just flows so perfectly. I don't know if she realized when she was writing the opening track talking about this is a simulation, how it would hit so differently in 2020 and 2021 when we were all stuck in this limbo. We got singles in advance and every single one of the singles were incredible. Murphy's Law, Narcissus, Jealousy is like an older one, Incapable is an older one. Like every single one of them on their own stands up as an absolute top tier, just banger. But then the album, when you hear it all together, it just makes perfect sense and you just get lost in it. And I can't stop listening to it. I love it so much. There was, we've kind of been all sitting in our houses and there's been different live gigs and stuff going on. There's two live streams that I bawled my eyes out. One was when Pillow Queens did the acapella of Liffey on CMAT's Christmas gig, and the other was when Roisin Murphy did her live stream that she did for Mixcloud. I think I got to the second song and I just started bawling, didn't stop for the rest of it, because I think these songs are just so special and so powerful. And even through like my shitty little laptop screen, it had the same impact, I think, as if I would have been standing in front of her. I absolutely adore this record. I think it's just pure perfection.
Like that fucking live gig, I know there was this stupid tech thing that people were bitching about. It was so amazing. Like it was
so powerful. It was just, I couldn't get over it, because actually the last kind of night out I had was judging the Choice Awards last year, but the last kind of festival or trip away that I had was Homo Block. Una, I'm 94% sure that I saw you there.
Literally 94% sure. Right now. year and a half.
Pretty sure we were hanging out, but don't, you know, not 100%. But yeah, that was Homo Block, was my last kind of festival. And it was you might have guessed by now that I'm definitely a Roisin Murphy super fan. Love seeing her with her band, but she came on and kind of did, it was just her and some visuals and there was no band, but like couldn't tell the difference because it's all about her because she's just so incredible. And I don't understand why she's not just this mainstream, hugely famous, hugely lauded. Like she is like a gay icon and all of the queers love her. But I will like happily skip into a playlist meeting and work, be like, I've got the new Roisin Murphy single. And to be told once again, she's not a mainstream artist.
pop radio isn't going to want to hear Murphy's Law. And I'm like, but why? It's a banger. You don't understand, you know, but I just, this is a perfect album for me. I can't say a bad word about it.
What I think is amazing as well is that even as brilliant as Roisin Murphy is and has been going back to Moloko and everything, and I know that she's not, you know, super pop star famous, you know, and what is that, genre discrimination, misogyny, fucking who knows, probably a load of things. But like, the thing is, like, it's so amazing and inspiring and heartening to have somebody who's already so good make their fifth album, as you said, Claire, exactly, a masterpiece.
This, yes.
And that the artist is still so good that they're still pushing themselves and still getting better and better. And you're like, fuck, you can actually, like, just no resting on laurels, just total artist vision of like doing the work and pursuing good stuff. And, you know, when you keep doing it, the success ensues, you know, and it's not some, like, this is the first time she's had a massive New York Times profile and all that kind of crack. So it's like, I just find this album is amazing. It's probably the best album on the list, I think, like, critically as a whole. But I think that, like, I don't know, I just find it so inspiring that an artist like her exists, and she's just all about it, all about the work, you know, all about the tunes. Yeah.
And she has never once, like, done something to get a hit or to be more successful or had, I can't imagine, no compromise.
Never.
She's always does exactly what she wants to do, exactly what she wants to set out to do. And she's just incredible.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, she's done those kind of releases where it's like, oh, Italian language, let's do an Italian language EP or whatever, Take Her Off to Monto, you know, a kind of a weird album. And for me personally, I love, like, as a DJ as well, I love the fact that you can play Roisin Murphy. And I love that this was mostly that kind of disco and house rooted music that she's so good at doing, because few people have a voice like her and the ability to be able to put it on almost any kind of instrumentation and make it sound like that. Even when last year when she did, I think it was was it Tommy Tiernan or something like that? Or some RT show last year.
With the orchestra.
Yeah, with the orchestra. Yeah. Just the balls to do that, you know, as well.
And when she said to me, you're falling in love with me, aren't you? And he was absolutely mortified. It was such good TV.
Yes, Mark Lowe.
Okay, so we've now discussed all 10 albums. So earlier today, you all sent me your top 3 albums from this list before we had this chat. Ourselves, looking at the process of a year, we kind of go, oh, that'll be in it. And then you're like, sometimes you're just totally wrong. You're totally wrong, but that can happen.
E. Vanessa Francis not being on the choice, I think, shocked a lot of people.
Are we doing honorary mentions? We're doing honorary mentions.
I am. Yeah, I'd like to give an honorary mention to E. Vanessa Francis, who made one of the best albums of last year, Ireland or otherwise, and didn't make it on the list, which I think was a shame. I can only imagine she was number 11, because it wouldn't make sense.
Or the other thing that you could say, do you remember, Andrea, last year when we were in the choice room, Tony said, just want to address the elephant in the room before we start. Mango and Matt's on Casual Work isn't on here. And you know why it's not on here? Because not enough of you fuckers voted for it. So there is that, but it is. It was on my list, just to say. But I think there is, it's the thing about the choices that sometimes I've done it twice. And if you're on the judging panel and you try to be tactical and you go, everyone's going to vote for that, I'll put in my, you know, little favorite pet album instead.
Yeah.
And that's how albums get left off. So maybe that's what happened with E. Vanessa Francis, because it was a wonderful album. Or maybe, you know, people just slapped on it. I'm not sure. But I think, number 11, definitely.
Mm.
Yeah.
And as well, like, a lot of people might have had it as their number 8 or 9. Yeah. And like, it does, in my experience anyway, it was weighted. So if you have it too far down.
Well, this is the problem with.
That's the way it goes, unfortunately.
Or prizes that are picked by a collection of people, you know, some stuff is always going to come into the middle and that'll be on the list. And then some more outlier stuff won't feature. And that's just the way it is in terms of the process. Like the likes of Lethal Dialect aren't on it, maybe also what else is not a Dog Person from King Kavanagh as well, for example. And there's always going to be something.
I think the LD record should be on the list.
Yeah, yeah, it's a brilliant album, brilliant album. Mm-hmm. But look, we are going to just focus now our attention on three albums, and those three albums, unless anybody wants to change their decisions right now, are, we have three albums. They are Roisin Murphy, Pillow Queens, and Niamh Regan. Those are the three albums, based on our discussions and our choices, that we've settled on for this final part of the discussion. So we're going to pick a winner of one of these three. So as we just talked about Roisin Murphy, maybe we'll start with Niamh Regan. You heard from myself and Andrea, maybe it's no surprise that this album is here because we rated it so highly. What about you guys? Owen, do you have other thoughts on the Niamh Regan record? I know we talked about it a bit earlier on, but what about...
I think she's a brilliant songwriter. I really like this album. It's like you were saying earlier, it's just a really like nice listen, like relaxing listen. Maybe that might be a problem for it in the judging room. It doesn't evoke as strong opinion, but I just feel that it's an album that I find myself going back to again and again and again, just because I think she's a great songwriter. I just love the arrangements on the album and just the nice aspect to it. I think it's a great album. Delighted to see that it's in our final three, at least, whether or not it's going to be in the running when there's 10 or 11 judges talking about it. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, 11 in total, so that there isn't a deadlock is the vibe there. So that'll be the judging panel's choice. Okay, Claire, you obviously are a fan of the Niamh Regan record, seeing as you own a copy of it, I know.
Yeah, I love this record. It is absolutely beautiful. Forever grateful to yourself and Andrea for the intro. We'll owe you many pints when we're allowed to do that. But yeah, it's beautiful and it's a real... take a little time for yourself kind of records. You know, you kind of say, I'm going to pour myself a glass of wine, or I'm going to go for a nice walk, or whatever it is. And I'm going to really, really listen to this and enjoy it and just appreciate her beautiful voice, her songwriting, the arrangements. I love even the order that the tracks are put in. Everything just feels so considered and so special. And yeah, I think it's a wonderful record.
So out of these three... everyone picked the Pillow Queens album here in their top three. Okay. So that's, we all love it. We all like it. That's not to say we don't love the Roisin Murphy album. That is an album that I adore in a different way, but I do feel like you're asking the question, what is the choice representing? What is the choice bringing? Is it like simply when you're in the room, you're like, oh, well, it's supposed to be the best record of the year. What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, you see, I think you have to keep it at the record. And this is why awards and judging things is so bananas, because how can you, I don't know, I'm like, just get, you know, being very existential about the concept of judging art, but like, how can you say one is better than the other? Like, you absolutely can't. And if you start imposing narratives on it, like, well, Pillow Queen's record ultimately represents a generational shift in Irish music that's birthing a part of our revolution of culture, and it's bringing bands back, and you know, maybe they can go on tour with Kings of Leon or so, you know, like, obviously I fucking love this band, but you can't impose narratives around it. Like, the art will speak to the context. So I would shy away from saying, from context, I don't know, maybe I'm completely,
no, I think
wrong.
You're right,
maybe there should be a context.
No, I think, I mean, last year Claire will remember the first thing that we all did when we sat in the room last year,
form alliances,
Jim went well, that happened before at the little buffet.
No, the first thing we did was amazing.
Oh yeah, that's the band name.
It's definitely a post-rock band.
But we were all asked to kind of, because there's no like, like there's four/five of us here are like either music critics or music appreciators, and there's no one way to critique something. If there was, like, you'd be able to, you know, go to college and learn how to be a music critic and then you'd be a music critic and you'd be really successful. Like, there's no one way to do it. So we were kind of asked, like, how do you approach it in terms of your own criticism? Like, what are you looking for from this album? Are you looking for an album? But because it's just best album, and best album can mean 10 different things to 10 different people. It can mean, what does it represent? Like, how is it representing Ireland right now? How is it representing social change? How is it representing all of those things that Una mentioned? And I think that's what's in a way so fun about the room. And I think that's what's so nice about having so many judges in a room. Like, there's only 5 of us here, 11 voices, but 11 different ways of approaching criticism is a really kind of fun way to get into things. I still don't really know the answer. Like, for me personally, I don't know if I'm looking for the record that most represents Ireland or any of those things. I think I'm just sort of looking for the record that made me feel the most. And that's like, for me this year in this context, that's my like little prerogative, my little hill to die on. I don't have to be the world's most objective critic right now, because I'm not judging the choice.
Yeah, I think you're,
I'm just doing a fun podcast. So I'm just doing the thing where made me feel.
No, Andrea,
you know?
This is deadly serious. Our entire lives are staked on this moment. No, I think you're right. I think going back to that thing of like what moved you the most and what resonates the most is probably the best.
It is the best, but it's also the worst, because Andrea and Una are exactly right in everything that they said. But the problem is, my friends, that we have here, show and tell, two perfect albums. If you want to talk about the importance of the artists, sure. Pillow Queens, they're breaking down barriers, queer representation, women in music representation, all of these things. You could talk about Roisin Murphy. She is so important as an artist for so many reasons, but she breaks down the barriers of different disciplines, of what you can and cannot do, of being put into boxes, of just smashing those boxes. But at the end of the day, if you want to talk about just the records, we have two sublime, perfect albums. I cannot fault either of these. I'm so glad that I'm not in that room, for real, because I can't pick between both. I adore both of these records.
Oh, but Claire, you're in this room.
Well,
and
you're
in
your
room, and we
in
are
your own personal experience. Can you pick one of those records that you would go, yes, this is the one I want to win?
This is my problem. I don't think I can.
We can't give you a half vote on each of them.
But like, why not? We're not in the real room. Why can't
declare
a joint winner?
You can half reach.
They're honestly like if
joint winners.
I've tried to, you know, be nitpicky and try and pick things, and I can't pick at either of these records. They're perfect. Look at Pillow Queens. Like, look at this. Holy Show, Child of Prague, Handsome Wife, How Do I Look, Liffey, Dry Your Tears, Flip It Over, You've Got a Dog's Life, Gay Girls, Harvey, Brothers, Finishes with fucking Donna Mead. Oh my God. And then Roisin Murphy, you get transported into this parallel cosmic universe where everything is amazing. It doesn't matter that you're in a simulation, because you're having such a wonderful time and the music's fucking phenomenal and you can be who you want to be. They're both my children and I can't pick one. Okay.
Imagine if this was the first year that there was actually, through some mad twist of fate, a joint
Pillow Murphy.
We're definitely, Niamh Regan is not in our final list here, then we're saying
it's a great record.
Well, I mean,
great record,
but look,
I'd like to fight the corner for Niamh a little bit here. I think it was Owen who made a really good point there, that that album might get a bit overlooked because it's an album that you kind of only you'd listen to it in fewer contexts and scenarios than you would Roisin Murphy. Roisin Murphy, you can throw on if you're sad, you can throw it on if you're happy. No matter what the situation is, it kind of calls for that Roisin Murphy record, and maybe that makes it a better album. But maybe at the same time, like, Niamh's album is so good at what it sets out to do. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, the others are as well. But just to fight Niamh's corner a little bit, I think it's an incredibly, like I said earlier, like it's a poetic album that takes its time, and it allows you to kind of sit in music and kind of sit deeply in it for a while. And there's no kind of bells and whistles. There's no distractions. It's just good, straightforward, honest to God songwriting. And it's a debut record. like I didn't know Niamh Regan before I heard it, and like my first listen through it, I felt like, oh, this is an artist that I think could stay with me forever, sort of thing. So that's my two cents on Niamh, just to throw that in there, while I also agree with absolutely everything you said about the
Una,
other two
can
albums.
You pick one over the other, because I think you said you're a big fan of both. Can you find fault with either if you want to be super super picky?
I don't think I could find fault. Again, it's kind of like going, you know, here's an Eileen Gray chair, here's a Sally Rooney novel, and here's a Judy Chicago painting. Which is the best art?
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm
I love how this has just become a deconstruction of the of award giving in
I'm gonna
instead
I'm gonna,
of anything else.
Una, could you assign these three records to which of those three things it would be?
Pillow
please?
Queens.
I think I'd really
Pillow
appreciate
Queens
that.
Is the Judy Chicago painting. The Niamh okay. is the Eileen Gray chair, and what's the other one? Roisin Murphy is the Sally Rooney novel. Fuck
is
no,
that's a Sally Rooney novel.
I think we have two choices here. We have two choices, and those two choices are Pillow Murphy or Roisin Queens. I think we need to declare a joint winner. We can do what we want. We're not official judges.
Owen's going to come and wreck the gap.
Yes, come on now.
Okay.
Owen's going to come in and make the case for Silverbacks.
Okay. I'll throw something into it. So I think Roisin Machine is maybe a little long. There's a couple of tracks that kind of don't stand out as much as the singles. And maybe the singles stand out so much because they've been around for a couple of years. I always wonder if that's a factor in an album, like, you know, like a track is like 4 or 5 years old and maybe it doesn't hit as much in the time.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. For me, like, that was something that I was initially a little bit disappointed by when the album was coming. And then I found out, oh, it's Simulation that came out in 2011. Like, that's years old. And, you know, it does feel a bit more like a compilation of stuff that she did together with DJ Parrot, as opposed to a album that was conceived all together and represents this one thing. What it does represent is Roisin Murphy being a brilliant artist and making great dance music. And that's what I love about her. And that's what I'll always love about her. For me, I would have to say, if I had to pick, it would be 1, Pillow Queens, 2, Roisin Murphy, and 3, Niamh Regan, because just the Pillow Queens album is the one that I think it's really hard not to insert narratives into it. It's really hard not to think about those things. Like when we had Pillow Queens play a gig at the All Ages gig that we did for Music Town a couple of years ago, and all of these gay girls showed up, and gay teenagers, and it was just so brilliant to see that. And like, I can't help but think about those kind of things when I listen to Pillow Queens, because it means more than the music, and that's why it's so hard to not to insert a narrative or bring the external into the album, because that's the great thing about an album. It's not just, as much as we try and just place it, what it is about the record that we love, it's what we love about the record is actually what we love externally about it, what it brings into us, what it reflects back on us, what it all those kind of things. Right now, Roisin Murphy's album is reflecting on me because we can't dance in a club. We can't go and do those things. So her live stream gig last year was such a release for me, because it was like, this is amazing. So many people are watching this. She's like, her artistry is never in question, but she also always steps up and does that in a really fascinating and interesting and unique way that is totally herself. And then we've got Niamh Regan's album, which is very much like, it was a brand new thing for me. It was, I seen her play an acoustic guitar at like 12 o'clock on Body and Soul stage 5 years ago, 6 years ago, maybe at Electro Picnic. And I was like, oh, that's a really nice song. There's some really nice songs there. But again, the step up into an album encapsulates something so much more that speaks to the human experience about losing a parent and becoming a mother and reflecting on your past relationships. So there's just different prisms, there's different depths to all of these things. There's different things being represented here. That's why it's so, for me, that's why it can be so hard to figure out what one you're picking over the other. So that's what I'm saying. All of these records, all 10 of these records, have huge recommendations to be given to them because of this. And so what we're just trying to do is just ascertain, okay, what do we all agree on is probably going to win this? So
I think for me that the struggle between Roisin Murphy and Pillow Queens is kind of, and this is going to sound really wankery, so just bear with me, but it's kind of the struggle of 2020, right? Like with Roisin Murphy, it's the simulation, it's the kind of the space that you're going to kind of digitally and online and even inside your own head to escape. It's pure, gorgeous escapism. And I think there's been a lot of that in 2020. And then with Pillow Queens, it's a nostalgia for a time that you kind of didn't realize at the time you were going to miss, even though it was hard and even though you were struggling through it, which is kind of, you know, day not to, you know, the 16th of March 2020. Like, you didn't think that you'd miss standing in a pissy venue, like queuing up for an hour and a half for the toilet, but you do. And I mean, as Una like very beautifully put, it's a nostalgia for the kind of the hardship of growing up, but also looking kind of from a place where you can appreciate the beauty, you can appreciate the kind of the mist over the GAA pitch and how kind of, and how those kind of spaces and those kind of times form you. And so I think it's so hard, especially this year, if you are to look at it through a lens of which album represents the year the most. The three of these, I think, all do in different ways. And it's so hard to kind of decide which one, I guess, is more important to you, or I guess moved you more. Like, were you more moved this year by escapism, or were you more moved this year by nostalgia, or were you more moved this year by still moments of reflection? And it's that kind of battle that I'm having now at the moment,
think, like,
between the three,
you know,
of them.
I was talking before about like remove it or just judging on the art, like that is an exercise as well. And it goes without saying that you can think that you're doing that or strive to do that, but you never fucking are. And ultimately you shouldn't be, if you're engaging with, you know, the piece of art is like telling you something about life and the human experience. And when it comes down to that, you know, do we want to be present and feel everything, or do we want to escape? And I think on that basis, the Pillow Queens record should teach us an awful lot about who we are and where we, what we need to remember, where we need to go. So it's a more human record, and that's what we need to learn more.
I've been doing a lot of escapism in terms of music the last year, though, at the same time, you know, and that's also has a valid. And I mean, it's just such a weird time that, you know, those, some people go down one path for a while, maybe, and some people go down another. And, you know, there was a time where earlier last year, after a lot of these albums came out, like, well, I just wasn't able for a lot of the kind of introspective stuff. But it was only in Maeve Regan's artistry and her creativity that brought me in back into that space. Roisin Murphy, I was already there. And Pillow Queens, similarly, I was taken into their world. And I think that's why I would pick them, just in terms of number one, because it is the one that I think I get the most from when I go back to it all the time, other than pure, like, what I get from Roisin Murphy is body music and escapism, and that's totally valid. And it's
and
not
pleasure.
So yeah. Pleasure. And it's not, what I do hate about discourse around music as well is like that gets pushed to the side sometimes, as if it's not as important as real human emotion. Like, and you know, Una, like I know, I heard you talk about this in the last year, like what we are missing right now is those kind of experiences, and we need those experiences and we have to get them somewhere. In order to, well, I do anyway, I certainly have to feel like my mental health needs to be topped up in some way by those kind of experiences, and music is where I get them from. But I do think there's, yeah, that's why it can be feel so tough to do that, because it is a tough thing.
Yeah, I think with Roisin Murphy, like the word escapism kind of, it's become nearly a bit of a dirty word. It's kind of a word that's associated with like not dealing with your problems, or like just switching off from like the news or the things in life that you kind of should, as a socially conscious person, like be aware of. But so I think in terms of escapism, like Roisin Murphy, it's not as if the album isn't aware of its context. It's not as if.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of, it's not, it's not that it's saying, okay, completely step out of your own life. It's kind of asking you to look inward and be imaginative and use your imagination and kind of realize that that is as much a part of the human experience as struggle, that pleasure is as important as like pain. Yeah.
Exactly. It's basically therapy. We can't go to therapy. And I'm so sick of getting back to Nilo. I'm so sick of talking about tubs of grease. And I need to just...
Come on, Nilo.
My life is so boring right now. And when I find myself like desperately trying to reach for some little bit of news to tell my Nana on the phone who I haven't seen in months. Yeah. She's like, do you have any news for me? I'm like, oh, I really don't. I'm so sorry. This is what you need. Like to just be... to. Let your imagination run wild and to play and to dance. And it's just so cathartic to listen to her music and just be transported off somewhere else. And you just feel the better for it having listened to that album. But you also feel the better for having listened to In Waiting, just for a different kind of reason, which is why we need a joint winner this year.
Well, I think what we'll do, I'm going to ask for a show of hands then, just to round it up. That's the
so it could still be anonymous. Actually, we could all see it, but the listeners won't know who voted for what. Let's do that.
Oh, that's a vibe. I'm into that.
Good idea. Okay, so I'm gonna ask for hands for Niamh Regan. Gonna ask for hands for Roisin Murphy, and hands for Pillow Queens. Okay, so
there was a little bit of cheating and somebody voted twice.
That's all right, we knew that was gonna happen. Okay, so our Irish album of 2020, as predicted, is if this was the Choice Music Prize judging panel, it is Pillow Queens. Pillow Queens within waiting. Well done. Okay,
up the mops.
But the real winner is all the music that we listened to along the way.
The friend.
I'm equal parts thrilled and sad for Roisin, but also.
But you made some compelling arguments for, and I think that is interesting. That whole dichotomy between, you know, real art and transportive art is, that's an interesting space. That's an interesting space to occupy and talk about. And I want to thank you all for joining me and Andrea on this podcast, and I appreciate it. Andrea, Owen and Claire, thank you so much for that and for all your thoughts and experiences and bringing.
And Una, we should probably thank you.
And Una as well. Did I see Una there? Sorry.
I just think we need to like dismantle any kind of judging or any appraisal that doesn't reward everyone.
Hold on, I have Jim Carroll coming in now to talk.
Jim Carroll's going to be in all of our DMs and we're going to redirect them to Niall.
It doesn't make sense anymore, Jim. Shut it down.
And look, if there are any like future, or if there are any judges from this year listening to this now,
they shouldn't be.
Any advice for them? Yeah, no, they shouldn't be. But and anyone have any advice going in the room?
Be yourself. Represent yourself.
Be yourself, and particularly if it's your first year, know that you are walking into a room full of people that are equally as passionate about music as you are. That's the two times that I did it. That was one thing that I felt so, it was just so refreshing and so lovely. Everybody cares as much as you do. In your day-to-day life, you're the weirdo who talks too much about tunes and everyone rolls their eyes, but everyone in there is just like you. Yeah. And they're going to treat all of the albums on the list with the respect that they deserve. And you're going to have a really, really lovely time and just enjoy every second of it.
Yeah.
The answer was inside you all along. That is my advice. Go in peace.
Owen, do you have anything?
No, just fight your corner, I suppose. Yeah. Just damn the rest of them.
Fuck it up.
Yeah. Okay.
I would say maybe start with beer and then move on to wine. That would be my
make
advice.
Sure you're very
don't start with wine.
Yeah, that's good advice to all judges of all art competitions, including the.
What is this prize like? What is it? Like, how do we get away with doing this every year?
Well, look, I appreciate your chat, and this is really just an excuse to talk about music that we love and music that needs to be lifted up a bit more in terms of the discourse around Irish music. So, thank you, Una, Owen, Claire and Andrea for your participation.
Thanks,
and best of luck to the real shortlist this week, and we hope that everybody has a good experience out of it, whatever that is. And I hope you're all tuning in on Thursday, March 4th to hear who's going to be the ultimate winner on the Choice Music Prize this year.
Everybody, plug your things. What are you doing? Owen, you have a podcast.
Okay, well, if people want to hear a couple of interviews with some of the nominated acts last week, I talked to Bitch Falcon and J Yellow L. So they're both up if you just search for The Point of Everything wherever you get your podcasts.
Please listen to my radio show and please tell all of your friends to listen to it. It's called Claire Beck's Saturday Sound System. It's on Today FM every Saturday night between 9 p.m. and midnight. And if you are into your tunes, which I'm sure you are, if you're listening to this podcast, please come and join me.
Una, tell us about your podcast in case anyone hasn't heard it yet.
I have a podcast called United Ireland. I co-host it with Andrea Horan and we talk about politics and current affairs, and it's like about unity and discourse, but kind of a backstage under the hood vibe. We also have a companion series called 32 Questions where we do interviews with politicians. The latest one is with Holly Cairns, and we have another companion series, lots of companions, called Byline, where we interview really fucking great journalists about their work. So that's that. I can't think of anything else that I'm doing. That's
right,
basically
that's
it.
Enough. That's all you need.
Yeah,
okay, Andrea, anything you want to add?
I have a newsletter, andreacleary.substack.com. I write a personal essay and I make a playlist to go alongside it. And you can read me in like the Business Post and Journal of Music and stuff.
Great. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Well. Yeah. As ever, patreon.com/909 for supporting us directly if you'd like to do that. Thank you, everybody. And congratulations to Pillow Greens for what may happen, but also congratulations to all the other 9 artists and who are shortlisted. So thanks, everybody. We're out of here. Bye.
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 Thanks, guys.
Yay. Just start to show it. Cement your feet and take the jump. They say go. The last go.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.